So now we continue. The pasuk says in Parshat Ki Tetzé, towards the end of the parasha, that 10 psukim after Shvi, Ki Yeriv Ben Anashim. And we should really spend a little bit of time understanding these psukim, because these psukim are the foundation of our Masechet. When there will be a quarrel between people, V'nigashu l'mishpat u'shvatum, they will go to court and they will judge them. V'tzdiku t'tzadik, they will show the righteousness of the righteous one. V'yirshihu et harasha, and they will show the wickedness of the wicked one. And the Gemara will later on discuss that this is talking about a situation where originally you thought the roles were reversed. Very often when people come with an argument, one of them seems very righteous, and it's only after the court's verified can they show that no, in fact, that's the wicked one. So that's what the pasuk's talking about, a situation where initially you thought the roles were reversed, and the job of the justice system is to show who is really the righteous one and who is really the wicked one. Vaya. Vaya imbin hakot harasha. And if the wicked one deserves to be hit, v'yipilo ha-shofet v'yikau lefanav kidei ha-shotom himispar. So then the judge should knock him over and beat him the amount that his wickedness is deserving. Alveim yakenu lo yosif. You hit him up to 40. Don't pass that. Pen yosif lakoto alei lemakar rabba v'niklach ich alei necha. Lest you hit him too badly, hitting him going too far, and he will be shamed before your eyes, which literally can be understood that he won't be able to contain himself or relieve himself in front of you. Lo tachsom shor v'disho. Don't muzzle an ox when it's threshing. What's the connection? So our sages learned the connection is that any prohibition that's similar to the prohibition of lo tachsom shor v'disho gets lashes. So then what does it have to be similar? How is it similar to that? Well, it involves an action, and then we will see other details later. So these psukim are really at the heart of our masechet. These are the psukim that describe when you give lashes. So far, so good. Our masechet began with a unique case of giving lashes. A case which is not classical. It's not a classical lav. Two unique cases. So now the Gemara is going to analyze these psukim, and in analyzing the psukim, the Gemara will derive that it's talking about a situation of edim zomimim, and in that situation, the Torah is saying, give them lashes. So far, so good? Can we pause for a second? I have a question. Last week, we voted to take a masechet that will involve using your noodles. Did you guys change your mind that you want to do something easier with more stories? How many of you would want us to switch to something that's more story-like? You guys are okay? I don't know if at this hour of the night this isn't too much. You're okay, yeah? Okay, if you're okay with it, I'm happy.
I'm good with it.
Yeah, you're okay? Okay. Yeah, Yochanan, we're okay? Okay, if you change your mind, let me know. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so now let's go back to Rashi. We'll learn the Gemara with Rashi here. So, when you learn with Rashi, the way to learn is using two fingers. The Rabban Shalom Baruch Hashem blessed all of us with two hands. You keep one hand in the Gemara, one hand in the Rashi. So, again, the Gemara says... The question was...
That's after you learned the Gemara or already went without Rashi?
This is a Gemara where I don't think you can make heads or tails without Rashi. You'll read it once and I don't think you'll understand anything. In this Gemara.
So it's not even worth trying.
You'll try and then you'll see that you can't and then you'll get to Rashi. You should definitely try. You should always try. That's what Rav Yitzchak Kampangtun writes, right?
Yeah. Always try without the Rashi.
He was talking when you're at a stage where you know what the words mean, so then you try to read the Gemara without Rashi, and then you read a second time, Yeah, first you see what you would have understood in the Gemara. Then you read Rashi, and then you have a basis to look back and say, wait a second, why didn't Rashi say like I did? So sometimes I didn't know what I was talking about, which in the beginning is most of the time. As you learn more, you'll start realizing, hey, wait a second. Rashi was, there's a reason Rashi said differently.
So the goal is to kind of get to like this level where we're obligated for Parsha Shavuot. Sorry, the goal is that we want to try to get to like the point of what our obligation is for Parsha Shavuot with the Gemara.
Okay. Okay, you can call it that. Okay. I wouldn't call it that, but okay. So again. How do we know that Edim Zomimin can end up getting lashes from the Torah? The Pasuk says, they will show the righteousness of the righteous one, the wickedness of the wicked one, and if the wicked one deserves to be hit, they'll hit him. The Gemara says, wait a second, just because you find one to be right and the other one to be wrong, so then it could be that one deserves lashes, says Rashi. Bitmiha. The Gemara asks it in wonderment. If the verse is the way we understood, that it's talking about the judges, and they should find out who's right and who's wrong, and we're talking about an argument, two neighbors have a disagreement. I'm right. The border goes still here. No, the border goes still here. You sold me a cow. You sold me a mule. Okay. So one of them's right and one of them's wrong. So then, lama livi tzadiku tzadik, lichtov ki yeriv ben anashim. Why does the pasuk describe one as being righteous and the other one being wicked? The pasuk should have just said, when there'll be an argument between people, v'nikshu lamishpatu shvatum, so then they'll go to the court and they'll judge them. V'yayim binakot. And then the courts will decide if one of them deserves lashes. Why does the pasuk stress over here? Why does it mention here that one will be found righteous? You think that any time Bezin finds one to be right and the other one to be obligated, you have to give lashes? Is that what the pasuk is saying when it tells you this one will be righteous, this one will be guilty? So one owes the other one money. What are you giving lashes for? El al korach. But what you have to say is beidim mishtai, that the pasuk is talking about a different scenario than you imagined initially. It's not talking about a classical case of two people that have an argument. Then there's no point in lashes. You owe him the money. You don't owe him the man money. Okay. Mishtai. It's talking about.
Like mine.
No. Mairi is, that's the subject. That's the, we translate it into English as both mishtai. But mishtai literally in Aramaic is the word talk. Lishtai ba'dei means to talk with him. Mairi doesn't literally mean to talk about. Literally it means that's the subject. That's what it's about. We don't say that in English, so we say that's what it's talking about. But the word talk is really mishtai. So you have to say it's talking about a case of witnesses. Edim shkarim. You're talking about a case where you had false witnesses. Shirshiu tzaddik, that they walked into here and they testified against someone who was completely righteous and they made him look wicked. Uvau acharim. And then other witnesses walked in, a second set of witnesses, behezimum, and they made them into edim zomimim. They revealed their plot. And then they showed the justice of the one being persecuted, the one being judged, Shu Tzadik, that he is really righteous. So Tzadik is not talking about the responsibilities of the court, but rather the way we have to read the pasuk is as follows. There'll be an argument. Two people will go to court to be judged. And then new witnesses will walk in, and the witnesses will reveal the righteousness of he who is righteous. V'itzdiku tatzadik is not describing the responsibilities of the court, but rather it is a continued description of the case that transpired. The new witnesses walked in and revealed the righteousness of the defendant, and they showed the wickedness of the wicked witnesses who were lying, the Edim Zomimim. So that's what the pasuk's talking about. V'hayayim binakot arasha. If this is a case of Edom Zomimim that deserves lashes, so here the pasuk revealed to us that you have a case of Edom Zomimim which deserves lashes. What's a case? That's a case where you cannot really fulfill Vasitem lo kasher zamam. Ordinarily the Torah says, give him what he plotted to do. Then you have instances when you can't. Those are the two instances of our Mishnah. Notice that this is a remez, this is an allusion. You can't say that's what the pasuk literally says. It's not a derivation. So again, let's read it inside. Where do you find an allusion to Edom Zomim in the Torah? The Gemara asks, Remez le'edim zomimin, you want an allusion to Edom Zomimin? V'aktiv, you have a verse, you don't need an allusion, it says, V'asitim lo kasher zamam, do unto him as he plotted. Ela remez le'edim zomimin shelokin min haTorah min ha'ayin, where do you have an allusion? That Edom Zomimin will get lashes, d'chtiv, it's d'ikut ha'tzadik v'yashut ha'rasha, v'ayayim min ha'kot ha'rasha. The pasuk describes, you will show the righteousness of the righteous and the wickedness of the wicked. And if the wicked one deserves lashes, so the Gemara asks, Mishum mitzdiku tzadik v'yashiu tarasha, just because the courts found that one of the two was in the right and the other one was wrong, v'ayayim binakot arasha, then one of them might deserve lashes. That doesn't make sense. Ela, but rather what the verse is describing is as follows. Edim shirshiu tzadik, you had false witnesses, group number one, walked into court and testified lies about a righteous person and made him look wicked. And then a second pair of witnesses walked into court. And they showed the justification of the one who was originally considered righteous. And they showed us, they made the other pair, the first pair of witnesses, into wicked people. They revealed that. So then, if they deserve lashes, so then give them 40 lashes. So that's how we derive it. So the Gemara asks, why'd you find such a convoluted case? Why don't you just derive it from one of the Ten Commandments? It says, don't give false testimony. And these Edom Zomimim gave false testimony. Isn't that enough? Mishum de'avelav she'en bo ma'aseh. I can't give them lashes for testifying falsely, because we said the concept of lashes is derived from lo tachsom shol b'disho, don't muzzle the ox. Muzzling the ox involves an action. So here you have concept number one, which you should write into your notes. Lav shein bo maiseh, v'chol lav shein bo maiseh, and lokin alav. The Gemara tells us a rule. Whenever you have a prohibition, that the transgression of that prohibition does not involve an action, that's called a lav she'ein bo maaseh. It's a prohibition that involves no action. So then you don't get lashes for such a prohibition. So that's rule number one, important rule that we saw today. What lav she'ein bo maaseh could you guys think of?
Depends if we're going to count talking as the thing that you're saying.
So you said talking is a lav she'ein bo maaseh, right? That's what the Gemara just said. That's why false witnesses don't get lashes from lo taneh b'ra'achayit shaker. The Torah says, don't give false testimony. So why don't I give them lashes over that lav? Because that's a lav she'ein bo maaseh, right? The Gemara just said, giving testimony is considered ein bo maaseh, not an action, right? Right, good question. So that's the Tosus over there. When you get there, you'll worry about it. What else? What other lav she'ein bo maaseh? Huh? Okay, lo sachmod, right? That's a lav she'ein bo maaseh.
Leaving the Korban Pesach on my
head. Very good. We'll see that later in the Gemara. Lo sosiru. Don't leave over from the Korban until the morning. Very good. Okay. So what do we see so far? Let's summarize. We said, how do you know that the Edom Zomim don't go into exile? We derived it from the Pasuk. Hu yanus, he will flee. And not the Zomimim. Rabbi Yochanan offered a Kavachomer. We countered that Kavachomer assumes that going into exile is a punishment, and the truth is that going into exile is a merit. It allows him to get atonement. So you can't do the Kavachomer, but rather like Reish Lakish. And then Ula brought an allusion to the idea that Edom Zomimim can get lashes from the verses of lashes, We asked, why don't you derive it from the prohibition, lo taneh bracha et shaker? And we said that that's a lav shein bo maisa. You don't get lashes for lav shein bo maisa. Yeah.
Lost in this concept about why, because it's a kapara that is considered, and it's not punishment.
Kapara is a merit.
What is a punishment? Like, a kapara, like we don't think we punish to make up for what we did wrong, and then that's how we merit getting back?
It's a very good question. There's a Tosfos somewhere that asked that question. I don't remember where. You're saying, why are the two mutually exclusive? And it can't be both. There's a Tosfos in Sanhedrin that asked that. There's a Tosfos, if I'm not mistaken, it's in Sanhedrin. What? Yeah, we have a Sanhedrin here. I don't remember where. Which you mind? Yeah.
So that's gonna be the last one to work towards.
I have to think about it. Okay. Onward, or should we go on to Jewish history? Jewish history? Yeah? Okay. I'll run down here for a second.